The Lord is good. You don't have to say it all the time. Just say, man, whatever you want to say. You know, I'm not trying to do a poem. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Yes, indeed. The Lord is good. So, we're in a very interesting place. I'm going to get back to the words from a little bit of last week, and then we're going to push forward because I have some. I want to finalize some revelations here, if that's okay. So last week we were in was it Philippians? Colossians, thank you. Colossians 3:2, thank you. So let's just run over that real quick. Based on everything else we've learned in these messages, which if you just tune in online for the first time, you can go back and catch up. It says, since you have been raised with Christ, let's qualify first before we go for it. Since you have been raised with Christ. We know what it is to be raised with Christ? No? Do you know what it is to be raised with Christ? It says, since you've been raised with Christ. So that means nothing else applies after this if that first sentence is not you. This is to an elite group. Since you've been raised with Christ. So with that said, let's see if we're right here. How many folk are here raised with Christ? Raised with him. Okay, yeah, no, that's why I preach like I preach. I'm going to make you think. I don't like you to just read scriptures and don't know what they mean. Okay, how many of you understand what it means to be raised with Christ? Okay, let's go for it. Let's talk it out. Let's make sure. Only a few hands went up. Come on, Mike, what you got? He went down when he came up. He said, in essence, I'm using your words exactly, he brought us up with him. Good. Who else had one? Something different? Nelly? What he said? Everybody else? Okay. Let's get into the dimensions of that. Since you've been raised with Christ, what you gave and what you agreed to is a figurative explanation. Is a figurative explanation. Nobody here died with him and rose up. Nobody in here has been dead and rose up. So when you use it that way, it's figurative. Well, I challenge figurative explanations of Christ always. I don't like it to be figurative. It either has to be actual and real or it's not so. So if I'm raised with Christ, it can't be symbolic. I don't believe the moves and the actions of God are symbolic. I believe they're genuine. If it's symbolic, then him coming back for you is symbolic. Huh? All the promises are symbolic. Healing and miracles are symbolic. God doesn't work in symbols. He works in truth. So if the scripture says I'm raised with him, I have to believe that it has a deeper meaning than just, yeah, well, he died and he rose up and he kind of, you know, wink, wink, brought us along. So let's talk about raised with him. Raised from what? First question I ask. Because he wasn't raised from the dead. Figuratively, his resurrection wasn't about him dying and coming back to life. They got zombie shows like that all the time. So if all of his being raised represents a man dying and coming back, we are without hope, totally. The resurrection is not that of the physical. I know you're looking at me crazy, but let's look at this. So they came to Jesus to test him. We have a question. There was a man, he had a wife, and he died with no children. Now, he had seven brothers. And all seven brothers had as a wife, because that was the deal back then. If your brother died and his wife didn't bear any children in his name, you had to go and get with her and help her have a baby to honor your fallen brother. A lot of brothers probably would love that today. So they gave him this story. There were seven of them. They all had her, and none of them had a baby. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus' answer is powerful. He said, here's where you err. Because he said, see, God is not the God of the dead, the God of the living. Stay with me. And in heaven, they're not given in marriage. They're like the angels. That's what people start believing. Oh, so we're going to be angels. No, no, no. He said, like the angels, they're neither male nor female. They're eternal beings, and all this gender stuff is not involved. So what he was explaining was, you're focusing on the dead in the life from a human perspective. And that's not the way it works. Jesus is clearly saying that. So when we say we're raised with him, if you're focusing on it from a dead human being to a living human being, you're going against what Jesus said when he said no, but you err, because God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. In other words, you are never in a place of quote-unquote death unless you pass into spiritual death, which is not still an absence of being. It's just an absence of being in the presence of the Lord. Stay with me. The definition of death, according to the word, according to the Hebrew, is eternal separation from God. That's the definition of death. Because, are you listening to me? Everyone has eternal life. You made in the image of God, you're a spirit, you never die. With or without Christ, you never die. You live eternally. It's just your address will be different from mine. But you live eternally. Isn't it eternal torment for those who don't accept the Lord? Well, in order for there to be eternal torment, then you got to live eternally. You're welcome. Everyone lives eternally. Now, with that said, when he says you're raised with Christ, he's not talking about a physical death and a physical new life. That's not the point. He's talking about if you are raised with Christ, you are brought from eternal death to eternal life. And again, eternal death meaning suffering or separation from God eternally. That's death. Did I make that point clear enough? Now, when he said we are raised together, what he's saying is, are you ready? You ready? You got your seatbelt on? All right, you might want to jump up and shout and drag a chair with you. He said, when man disobeyed God, he was separated from God and therefore forced to live out his life in conditions and situations that were death-like situations. You can be alive and very dead. When you're raised with Christ, the nature of who Adam was before he fell was taken from him, and he was reduced to a mortal. When you're raised with Christ, and the scripture says this, it didn't say, and you will be, Ephesians chapter 1, and we were raised with Christ and made to sit with Christ together in heavenly places. That's not talking about when your physical body dies. That's talking about now. Open up your Ephesians chapter 1 if you need to. It's right there. So we were raised together in Christ and made to sit with him. Not and we will, but we have been. What that raise is talking about, are you ready? Is your position being restored back to the God-like position it was originally before Adam fell. You got that? So you raise spiritually. You raise positionally. Remember I talk about the difference between when they say Jesus and when they say Christ? They're talking about the position, the authority, the power, the who he came to, what he came to do and what he represents, that title. He's saying you're raised in Christ. In Christ. You're raised in Christ. You've been restored Some of you are going to get that later. You've been restored to the original place before men fell. Now you're getting it. The problem is people in the church and the enemy through the church, it keeps conditioning us to believe that is a place we have to be restored to. So they'll say things like, well, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I'm used to be. So there's always this journey that you have to seek out to be the righteousness of God, where the scripture says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What are you working for? True victory comes when you know what's yours and you walk in what's yours versus fighting to obtain something that's already been given to you. How hard is it to achieve something that you've already achieved? And here's the church, by definition, working their whole life to achieve something that's already been given to you. And if you can't see it when you have it, what are you even looking for? So you are raised in Christ doesn't mean you're going to die and one day live again. If you have eternal life, you have it now. Or you don't. How many of you understand that? How many of you understand that? If you have eternal life, you have it now. How many of you don't understand that? Okay, so when are you going to get eternal life? When you die? So when do you get eternal life? Huh? When you accept Christ. Did you accept Christ? So when do you get eternal life? Now. So why do we believe that we have to die to have eternal life? And why do we believe that us being raised up to heaven, when I die, I'm going to get to go to heaven? Okay, that's fine. But God said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God's like, no, I'm trying to get you to gentrify this earth. You're still running around trying to find a place to live. I'm trying to tell you to just gentrify the earth. This is who we are. So, being raised in Christ is not an after you die statement. All of that to say that. Either you're raised in him now or you're not. You're still looking at me funny. Let me ask again. When did you get eternal life? Now? You just got saved right now? Okay, so when did you get eternal life? When you got saved. You should be saying it more. See your end words. Listen, you should be saying, when I got saved. You're saying, when did you get saved? Like it's just like, I don't know. Could you please grab this? When did you get eternal life? So you got saved. You remember how long ago you got saved? You got eternal life then, right? The scripture said you were raised in Christ then, not when you die. Are you getting this now? Yes. Say, I'm raised in Christ right now. This is why people miss out on this anointing. Because it says right here, since you have been, past tense, raised in Christ. Since you have been raised in Christ. Since you have been. Either you have been or you have not been. Got it? It's a little thick. I know I'm raised. That's why I can go boldly before the throne of grace and seek God in time for any need. You can't do that unless you're raised. Unless you got his apartment somewhere in Manhattan or somewhere that you know about you can go to. The only way you're going into the throne of God is you have to be raised up in him. You can't go any other way. When you pray then, if you're not raised already, where are you praying from? From what perspective? Spiritual genie trying to get him to do you a favor? Listen, either you're his or you're not. And you're only his by being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's spiritual. It's not just a physical action. The physical action has very little to do with it, if not none. Because if you're not raised before your physical body dies, there will be no resurrection for you. Facts. I didn't think we'd be on this one line so long. I thought we was going to shoot past this. I thought everybody was going to go, yeah, raised. Hey, you know, I just assume everybody knows these basics. I have to remember, they're not generally taught. So let's take a moment and reflect one last time. When were you raised in Christ? When you accepted Christ, when you got saved. Did you somehow become unraised in Christ? So then we accepting now that our position is eternal life, even in these mortal bodies that we live in now. We accept that as truth, yes? Okay. I was planning to do any of this today, but okay. I got to get you. We got to be on the same page. I can't bring you all away if we're on the same page. Is this okay? Is this okay? I finally got you to accept. It took a few minutes that you have been raised in Christ. And that scripture starts by saying, since you have been raised. So this is not talking about people when they get raised. It's talking about people who already have been. So if you're not in the have been category, this don't apply to you. Now, number one. Number two, being raised means being restored to the former glory that God created man to be in before the fall of man. Say it one more time. Because I can see that one got a reaction the first time I said it. Being raised means you being restored to the former glory of man before the fall of man. That is what Christ came for. I'm not saying anything weird. Watch this. He said, we got a better promise than that of Abraham. And we know what Abraham's promise was. But wait a minute. Hold up. Wasn't Abraham's promise after the fall? So wait a minute. Before Christ, before the salvation of man, there was a covenanted agreement that God still blessed and did these phenomenal things for these people pre-Savior. Because I know church people want to believe, you ain't got Jesus, these Jews. I'm like, you don't know that. We're grafted in. You can't look at them and tell them they don't have salvation. They had salvation before our Savior even came. Christ came for to graft us in. Don't get it twisted. Don't get up on your high horse when you get around your Jewish brothers. And I'm not talking about people that just say I'm Jew because my mother's a Jew and my father's a Jew. There's a walk and guidelines that those people need to follow and have to follow. But that covenant is theirs and you can't take that covenant from them. I don't care how you feel about it. We're grafted in. Now, that was a side journey. If you're any of you turning up your nose at the Jewish brothers, stop it, because you're dead wrong, number one. Number two, Christ came. Okay, I'll cover that since I started there. Can Jews get saved? They do, and yes. But for them, that's double covenant. They accept the Messiah, and that's double covenant. That just puts them into a higher level of covenant. That now, doesn't put them in a higher level than us, because we're all the same. But it just puts them in a different place of covenant. But yes. And if you meet a born again Jew that's really walked in his in the laws and in the culture of Judaism, they know more about Jesus than every Christian I've ever met. They can break, listen, they understand the old covenant and how it worked in the laws, and they have an appreciation for this salvation that most Christians will never have. They're like, I had to keep all these rituals and these laws and don't touch this and don't drink that and don't go here and don't sit there. And if your wife have a menstrual, she can't even stay in the house with you. She got to go in another apartment and stay there and not come and don't touch the food. Can't cook. Don't come around the kids. You see, you don't know this stuff, but that's real stuff. She got to move out for 7 days. It's a lot of things. And they said, "Woo, you mean in Christ we got this freedom? You're stupid. We're going to take advantage of all of this in the guidelines of truth." Now, let me get back to my point. So, being raised in Christ or resurrection is not physical first. Without the spiritual, there is no physical. Stop looking at it from a physical perspective. When I die, first of all, I don't die. Maybe you do, but I don't. I transition. I exit this and I move into my new place, to my glorified, never decaying, everlasting body. Maybe you die. I don't die. I transition. What do you do? What do you do? Am I awakening something here? I'm making you. Remember last week I kept saying we are not seeing who we are. I'm already born again. What does born again mean? Same thing, resurrection. Born again means already the death, burial, and resurrection has already happened in you, not when you die on earth. Let me say that again. Who's born again? What do you mean? What does that mean? Because I accepted Jesus. No, but what does born again mean? Again, it's not a figurative statement. Who you were died and you were raised from the dead then. What happens with this body and how it goes and comes is really immaterial in this grand scheme of what I'm teaching you here. You already are resurrected in the realm of the spirit. And if that doesn't happen, it's not going to happen in the physical. Period. Two. If I lay down this body tomorrow, are you listening to me? It will not be resurrected. Well, I just messed you up. Just messed you up. You know anybody who recently died? Go open up their coffin and see if it's still in there. Okay, then. So it wasn't resurrected. So then where are you at then? Floating around like a ghost, a cloud. You see how the church has just got this so backwards? They've already moved into the new body. They're out of here. That's done. What's dust returns to dust. God, church, wake up. We've heard so many of these fairy tales that is just messing up everything. So we say the dead in Christ is raised first. Oh, the skin's going to jump all back on them, and the bones are going to... Really? Then trust... Then let me ask you. When Jesus came back, he's the example of our resurrection. Let's make sure we're clear on this. Biblically speaking, Jesus came back, walked through the wall. He's our example, right? Walked through the wall. They came in, they freaked out, they thought he was a ghost. Well, yeah, he walked through the wall. He said, "I'm not a ghost. Give me some food." Sat down, ate some food. Got some fish, grits, cornbread. Sat down with the disciples. That's what my Jesus is going to do. I don't know. He sat down and he ate with them. And he said, "I'm not a ghost. Handle me." Wait a minute, you just walked through a war. Then you ate some food. Then you said, handle me. He says, stick your finger in my palms. And he says this statement that's very powerful. For a ghost does not have flesh and blood like I have. He didn't say bone. Read into that what you want. He said flesh and blood. So there's blood. It's obviously some kind of flesh that goes through walls. I would kind of think that's not the same body that was in the grave then. Would we kind of agree with that? Yes. Something a little different about that body. I don't know. I ain't been able to go to a wall. So, are you with me?
Yes.
Resurrection is different than what we've been. I didn't know we were doing this today, Lord. Resurrection is not what we've been making it up to be. We've been making it about the life and death of this physical body. We've been making it about this body dying and getting back up and walking around spiritually zombified. We've been caught up in so many things that we've discounted what resurrection is. Resurrection is going from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's always been there and it always will be. You are a spirit. You are housed in a body. Book of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2. He made the man. He made the woman. Said, be fruitful and multiply. And body wasn't even introduced yet. Then he scooped down and made a body. So what was being fruitful and multiplying? And then he said, in his image, he made him, male and female. He made them, said, be fruitful and multiply. And there was no Eve yet. That got a few of you kind of going, woo. He told them, he made them in his image, male and female. So that means God's male, female. Even though we want to say he, because that's a general statement. But truthfully speaking, he said, male and female, he made them. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. And that's in the image and likeness of God. And there's no body yet. And there's no woman yet. Chapter 3, he says, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone, meaning standing as one, because he made all the animals have mates and create like that. And so he put the man to sleep. He separated that was woman from him and set him beside him. And he looked and said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, for she was taken from me. So come on now. So there's a revelation again then that there was one thing that was once, and God separated and put them beside each other. So women weren't an afterthought. He didn't just make something to keep a man company. No, because we like to tell these kind of stupid stories like this. So let's go back to this now. There was life before there was a body. Come on, catch up with me. Father God, give them ears so that they can hear. Let he who has ears to hear, let them hear. There was life before there was a physical body. So your life is not your physical body. The scripture said the life's in the blood. That's why I think Jesus said, notice that this doesn't have flesh and blood like me. That's why the blood of Jesus became a big deal. That's why the blood of animals became a big deal. Because it was about the blood and about the body. It wasn't about the bone. Now, that can be debated one way or another. But most of what I'm saying cannot be debated, and that's this. Man became a living spirit when God created him. And then when he created a body and he ruah, breathed the breath of life, he became a living soul. But when he was created as a living spirit. You listening to me? Say, I am a living spirit. I live in a body now. But who I am, created in the image of God, is a living spirit. You getting that now?
Yes.
We're reducing this thing down so low. So low. This body is so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Think of it as a car that you bought that may have 80, 90 years mileage. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and it starts breaking down just like an old car. But you are an eternal being now. You have already been raised now. I'm going to keep saying that till you get it, because I know it ain't clicked for everybody yet. You're not going to have eternal life. You have it now. You'll agree with that? Then what does this body have to do with it then? You know this body's not eternal. So what's the attachment to it? Why do we keep trying to write it into everything? That's what we've been taught. Through the world and everything else. Now, you have been raised with Christ. Or else you couldn't be saved, as you call yourself. Let's try it again. Have you not been raised with Christ? You have been. You believe that now for sure. Okay, I want my voice to like haunt you as you go throughout the week. You're not going to be raised. You're not going to be saved. Either you are or you're not. If you're not, then you may be going to be saved. But if you already are, you've already been redeemed from the curse of the law. You are already an eternal being now. You got that? Yes. Think about that a minute. Just think about it. Meditate on that for a few seconds. You have eternal life in you now. That means you are dunamis power being housed in this flesh, wanting to get out. You understand it? So here's what I've seen happen. If I can talk about Sister Winnie, if that's okay. When I looked in her eyes that last time and she stared into mine and we looked into each other, I saw what was getting too big for the case that she was in. I saw that look, that nod said to me, you know what I'm doing. You know where I'm going as well. You already know. You've got alone. She said, I need to get out of this hospital. I need to be in a place where I'm quiet so I can just be with God. You know. Are you listening to me? After a certain point, if you've been around it enough, when a person is transitioning. When I saw your grandpa, your dad, the last time, and I walked into the hospital room and I stood over the bed and he opened his eyes and he looked up at me. And he asked the weirdest question ever. Who are you? And I told him who I was. And he said, oh, hi, Diamond. Good to see you. And I held his hand, and we looked at each other. Then he closed his eyes back, and he began to worship. Your mom said to me later, when I came in the room and I saw you and him and saw the way you looked at each other, I knew you were saying goodbye. She said, at that moment, I knew you were saying goodbye. She said, I knew it at that moment. She said, if I wasn't sure before, I knew at that moment you came to say goodbye. He got bigger than that body and all its shortcomings and its ailments and this one thing gets fixed and here's another thing and then this thing gets fixed and here's another thing. And he was like, enough. I know I have options. And I'm going to fight for this one? See, once you start to see over there, once you start to see over there, listen, if I ever find myself in a place like that, you're going to have to do some super hard praying to get me back. I'm telling you right now, because once I get that close, I love y'all, but we'll see each other again. I'm gone. I tell God all the time, God, you better not ever let me get near death because I ain't ever coming back. You have to force me back. You have to have the angels escort me like security and push me back on. Because you understand? That's who you are. That's your home. You're just ambassadors here, the scripture says. That's your home. And once you get near home and your spirit man feels the freedom of being out of this cage, and spending a lot of time with God in this level, not because I'm trying to leave, but because I want to understand who we are and what we're here to do and the limitations that has been put on us in our spirit and our minds through teachings or through things we just like, seen in life. You are resurrected. You're already resurrected. You're already born again. You're already a new creature. The old life died. You'll notice. When you get baptized, you lay down and come up. You'll notice. But then you leave it there in the water. And you dry off and you go back to being human. But that's a symbolism. That's dead. Your life now is eternal. So you have been raised. You have been raised in authority because you can bind spirits in the name of Jesus before. How many of you in this room have come to me from time to time and say, and the Lord has said to me? The rest of you have never had God speak to you at all? Okay, I asked for a hand. I want to see hands. God has spoken to you and you know it. Wait a minute. Why couldn't you do that before? You follow what I'm saying? Because you've been, you listening? Raised. Your position in the kingdom has been put in a place that you are now a new creature. I'm not saying nothing that's not biblical. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I got it, God. I see where they stuck. So what your thought a new creature meant is you'll behave better. I don't cuss like I used to. I still cuss, but not like I used to. I don't drink like I used to. So that's what it is then. In the minds of our beliefs, right, it's like there's this physical, emotional change that has nothing to do with your spirituality. God had to just reveal it to me. I'm like, God, why are they stuck on this? God can tell when you're stuck. You can just look at me straight face, but I know you ain't getting it. So let me ask you a question then. God, thank you for this, because I have so many stuff that I thought we was doing today. Let me ask you a question then. If you got saved yesterday and you died 10 minutes after you got saved, where do you go? You go to be with the Lord? But nothing has changed. Nothing in your flesh has changed. You ain't had time to live out the Christ. You ain't had no time to live out your Christian walk. You ain't had no time to be better as a person. Your thought process still sucks. Everything about you is as fleshly as it was 10 seconds ago. So if it's about you changing, let me make it biblical. Two on the cross. One next to him starts realizing, the other one says, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. He's a good man. Remember me in paradise. And Jesus says right there on the cross to him, today. Not one day, I'm going to come back for you. He said, right now, and you will be with me. Bam! Just like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Right now, you'll be with me. Your changes are not about your flesh. If your spirit changes, your flesh will line up. But you spend so much time working on the flesh, you ignore the spirit. So your spirit's not growing. You're just learning to behave. I'm not saying you. I'm just using that hypothetically. And so we put this focus on. I know I've been guilty of it, trying to get my flesh to behave. Lindsay said to me one time, you know, I don't understand it. You get these words of correction from God and then just like, you just get it right away. Like, I struggle with it and you just, boom. And I'm like, because I know it ain't my job. I don't work on it. I don't work on it. I don't work on being better. Yeah. Roof. Not Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength, for it is Christ that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I say, God, you got some work to do. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be me unless you change something. Woo, we're getting it across now. We're getting it across now. That ain't my job to change me. That's my job to submit to his voice and say yes. I've tried changing me. Never worked. How many of you been trying to change you for a long time? I said, God, that ain't my job. That's above my pay grade. You feeling that? That's above my pay grade. My job is to surrender to that change. It's all about submission. It's all about me saying yes to it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And he will give it to you and upbraid of not. But let him ask in faith. So I've learned about simple things that I'll just say, God, well, that's on you. I don't know what to do about that. And if you ever worked on me on a building project or anything, is I'm doing something I've never done before, people have watched me stand in front of the project and go, okay, Lord, so how am I supposed to do this? And just stand there a few seconds, and they think I'm thinking about it and figuring it out. I see you figured out. I ain't figured out nothing. I just looked at it and said, Lord, how do we handle this? Move this, push that, and do that, okay? And all of a sudden I go, ah, and I start doing it. People are like, wow, you're just so smart. I'm like, mm-hmm. So you think. And you've heard me say it many times, God makes me look smart. But that's what obedience is. Remember when God gave me the revelation, genius is being able to hear God before anybody else and do what he says. That's the definition of a genius. So you got it now. I am redeemed. I'm not living primarily out of this body anymore. It still pulls and tugs and tries to have its way. Somebody said something real, real disrespectful on social media the other day. And I'm just amazed how I'm just not being insulted by people anymore. Like people say things, I go, wow. Really? That's how you feel, huh? Sucks being you. And just go right over my head. And I'm not even trying. I'm not saying in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to respond. I'm a good Christian. It's just like, okay, so now what? Because I'm starting to live out of being raised. You know, let me give it to you in an earthly term. Have you ever had somebody bring a situation to you and you go, I'm above that. That's beneath me. I'm going to even dignify that with a comment. You may get this line. I don't speak broke. Remember that, y'all? I don't speak broke. I don't know what that is. That was me being spiritual. It's like, I don't know. I'm so far removed from that 23, 24 plus years. I don't know what that is. And you said that clicked for you. It was like, whoa, he just said something there. I got to walk that out and figure out what that is, but something was said there. Right. I don't speak broke. I don't know what that, I don't use that term. I don't receive that. Yeah, those people receive it. They receive too much of it. If you got to go through all that, I receive that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You receive every bit of it. That's why your flesh got offended by it. But when it's not you, you're like, Some of you, everybody in this room, ain't nobody walking up to you with a crack pipe and saying, you want to try it? You're like, what? You want to say no thank you? Look at them like, you stupid. Like, you really? Did you really offer me that? That's unimaginable to you. Stop living out of the body and what the body's limitations are. No, you can't go jump off a roof and fly. That's not what I'm saying. Those are spiritual laws. They must be obeyed. Gravity is a spiritual law. But you start to see beyond who you are and where you are. Come out of your tent. Count the stars in the sky, so shall your seed be. If Abraham did natural math with that, which he did for a long time, he couldn't get results. Because natural math says, are you listening? I don't know if people think about this stuff. God just told a man that's 100 years old that he's going to have so many seeds that he can't count them. Takes 9 months to have a baby. So that means if he was going to have 10, he had to at least be 110 before he got to his first 10. Back to back, if Sarah's body could take that. If he's going to have 100 kids, that means he had to live 100 years more, having almost a kid a year. You understand where he may have had some problems. Sisters are looking at me like, not me. He had the fun part. The guy be like, oh, I'm good with that. But sister's like, mm-mm. So here's my point. Of course, if you look at that from where you are in the natural, that's unrealistic. That can't happen. God was speaking from a spiritual perspective. God was speaking from a perspective that goes beyond man and man's logic. You are raised. You are resurrected in Christ. You are an eternal being now, not after you die. You do have access to the full court and room and throne room of God and storage room and all the stuff that exists there. Today. You have that now. We learn more about access to it the more we humble ourselves and hear his voice. It's instruction, and you follow it. There's technique, and he explains it, and you walk it out, and you walk it out to the point that it becomes who you are and what you do and how you think. How many of you remember not knowing how you're going to get your needs met from week to week? How many of you don't have that problem anymore? You understand what I'm saying? And the thought of going back to that in your mind is like, nah, that's not who I am. Well, what changed? Don't tell me you went and got a better education. It's bullcrap. No. You lined up with the provision of God. Look at the birds of the air. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet your Father feeds them. And you got a little bit closer to that. And you got a little bit close. And a lot of you come to me and you're telling me these stories in amazement of how, wow, I can't believe. Like, I didn't have nothing. And now it's like, it just, every time I turn around, there it is. I'm like, and I just look at you like, yeah. I'm like, Jesus, yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it for 24 years. So, yeah, welcome to my world, kind of, sort of. I know it works. So let's end this message on this note. I wanted to go further than this, but we can go further next week. So let's end this on this note. You have already been raised in Christ. You're already resurrected in Christ. Spiritually speaking, it's been done. Jesus said it is finished, not I'm working on it. It's done. We have to now trade in that old plan that we've been living off of, that earthly plan, for the new plan. I talked about it, and I say it again. With the thing that's bothers me or been bothering me where I am in my walk right now, are you listening? Is every time Jesus got annoyed that they just didn't believe. He got bothered, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And the thing that sticks with me, you listen to me, doctor? the thing that sticks with me was, why was Jesus so irritated that they were scared of the wind or the rain or the waves and stuff that naturally had their life in peril, and Jesus seemed to think that they should have not been worried about it? Why did he feel that way if he didn't think or know that that should be the case? I don't know if you heard and understood my question. Who didn't understand my question? We're talking about God in the flesh. We're talking about Jesus. And Jesus came to you and said to you, Marian, why didn't you doubt? Why didn't you just believe and do this? Right away, you would say to yourself, oh, I was supposed to believe that? That means he expected you to believe it, right? He thought that for some reason that should have just been common sense for you. Well, if Jesus thought it should be common sense for me, maybe I need to think that it should be common sense for me. If Jesus thought I could do it, maybe I need to think that I'm supposed to be able to do it. You got it? That's the challenge of my spirit in this season. Like, Lord, you thought that we should be comfortable. The boy was brought to him with demon spirits of epilepsy. He was falling out. He brought him to Jesus and said, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't do it. And it ticked Jesus off that they couldn't do it. He said, how long must I suffer you? Huh? Bring him here. Why would Jesus be irritated with them unless he thought that they should know how to do it? When they got on the boat, I brought this up last week, and Jesus said, beware of the manner of the unleavened. And they said, he's saying that because we didn't bring any bread. And Jesus again gets irritated with them. Are you serious? Did you forget about the two fish and the five fish and the loaves and the 10,000 and 20,000? And you really think I'm worried about whether you bought bread on a boat? These are real conversations that Jesus had. So in my heart and my spirit, I'm going, so you really believe we should be past that? And hold up and wait and listen close before you shut the book. Hold up. Jesus said these things and expected these things from men that were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. And he thought that they should have more faith than that. With no Holy Spirit yet. But we can shine, habalaba, shabalaba, ding dong, and all of that, and we so spiritual. Oh, and I hear the Lord saying, oh, okay, yeah. But he looked at that stuff and day-to-day stuff and said, really? Bread, fish? Is this how far we got so far? Really? This is it? You excited about this? We saw demons come out. Jesus like, so yeah, whatever. I saw Satan fall like lightning, like, even in that, like he expected they shouldn't be excited about that. I'm still in awe of the stuff that's happening around me, like, wow. And Mike said to me yesterday, I thought you would kind of be used to that by now. And I'm like, I'm not. This is not the life that I'm transitioning. I am not. I'm still amazed. The difference is I'm expecting, though. My expectation is different. I expect God to show up different. I expect my needs to be met different. I expect God to give me answers different. I expect to have a conversation with God different. I expect it not to be something, well, I just need to pray. Pray for me. Pray for, some of y'all do that with me and I just want to choke you. Pray for me. No. I'm praying for you 50 times. I don't want to pray. Stop saying that. If you're still saying that, it means you still have not decided to be. You have not decided to be. I mean, there's certain things that I understand. First time, pray for me. But you still talk to me 2-3 years later and you're still saying, pray for me. Really? Really? And I feel like Jesus, like, really? How long must I suffer you? He expects us to be greater than that. I need to know why. I need to know why. That's even better, Lord. I want to live up to his expectations. If he thinks I can do it, then I need to think I can do it. If he thinks that that should be common sense to me, then I want it to be common sense to me. If he thinks that that should be something I should not be worrying about at all, but to have faith in God, as he often said, I want to know that I have faith in God just like that, that is that simple. So I'll end it with that. It's not me changing me. That's above my pay grade. I give that to right away when God submits something in front of me, I'm like, you want that changed? Tell me what you need from me. I'll do the part that I can do. And after that, it's on you, buddy. Now, you think God takes issue with that? Absolutely not. That's what he wants. Except you come as a child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He's like, come like a child. Dad, how many of you have kids come to you? Dad, mommy, daddy, I don't know how to do it. I showed you 5 times. But I don't know how to do it. Sit down, I'm going to show you again. You're going to go ahead and show them again anyway. Even if you get exasperated, you're going to show them again. If you, being evil, can do good things for your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father do for you as his children? Jesus said, how long must I suffer you? But then he did it. He still did it. Peter began to sink. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? But he still took his hand and pulled him up. I don't mind God saying, getting frustrated with me. Just take my hand. Just bring me through anyway. We'll try it again in another couple of days. Let me catch some breath. Or a little later today, we're going to try it one more time. Yes, yes. But I keep messing it up, Pastor. Keep getting up. Righteous for a 7th time, God lift him up. Keep getting up. But expect out of your resurrection who you are already in him to see God move through that. Stop expecting God to move through your dead flesh. Amen and amen.